Patsy, the White House just characterized the conversation between Biden and Putin as direct and straightforward. What exactly did the two leaders talk about, and how did that conversation go?
So the main issue that they talked about was the issue of Ukraine. And basically what President Biden here did during the summit was laid out a series of actions that the U.S. say it is prepared to take if Russia further invades Ukraine. There are three steps. The first one is a strong economic measures. These are the sanctions that the United States and its European allies are preparing. And then the second one is providing additional defensive material, arms, and so on to the Ukrainians, even more than the U.S. is already providing. And then the third one is the U.S. will fortify NATO allies on the eastern flank with additional capabilities. And this would mean including troops deployment to NATO members on the eastern flank, including Romania and Poland. So those are the three steps that was outlined by National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who briefed reporters, including myself, at the White House right after the meeting. Jake Sullivan said that President Biden also offered President Putin another option, which is de-escalation and diplomacy.
Now, Patsy, what other issues did the two leaders talk about, and what kind of follow-up are we expecting in the next couple of days?
Well, even though Ukraine was the main issue, the two leaders also discussed other issues, including strategic arms stability, these ransomware attacks that were coming up from Russia that have shut down computer systems in the U.S., and also their joint efforts to curb Iran's nuclear weapons program. And in fact, I asked Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, about the Iran issue, and he said that this is actually the one area where the U.S. and Russia appear to have a common goal or a common interest and a potential to work together. And Sullivan said that both the U.S. and Russia have been working together even during these tense discussions during 2014 and 2015, the JCPOA nuclear talks, and continue to do so right now. As you know, the JCPOA talks are right now on hold in Vienna as negotiators look over some of the offers that Iran is coming up with. So we'll see where they will continue to work together on this issue. As far as the follow-up, the two sides agree that there will be, you know, kind of lower-level diplomatic engagement to follow through on some of the action items. One issue of concern from the White House is to ensure that there are enough diplomatic support. As we know, there's a lot of diplomatic expelling on both sides. And so there's actually a shortage of manpower, a shortage of diplomats at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. So this is something that the U.S. wants to address further.
Now, do we know the official Kremlin version of events? What was the Kremlin readout of the summit?
So according to the Kremlin, President Putin emphasized the lack of progress in Ukraine in implementing the 2015 Minsk Agreement. This was the agreement that was meant to stop the fighting in the Donbas region in the eastern Ukraine. President Putin also raised serious concerns about the what he calls provocative actions by Kiev, by Ukraine in the Donbas. And also, Russia is essentially accusing NATO of expanding, of making dangerous attempts to conquer Ukrainian territory. Those were the readout from the Kremlin, and of building up its military capabilities near the Russian border.
And is that one of the guarantees that Russia wanted from the U.S. that Ukraine will not be allowed to join NATO?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the demands that President Putin was asking from President Biden. Reporters before the meeting and said that he does not follow anyone's red lines. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki today also said that there's no way that the U.S. can guarantee that because, you know, NATO membership is decided by NATO and the member country that wants to apply, in this case, Ukraine.
Mm. Now, this virtual summit was watched closely by other, adversaries, including China. Did the White House say anything about any potential fallout in case, say, China invades Taiwan? Because we see those are kind of parallel issues.
Well, that's a nightmare scenario for the Biden administration, right? Should Russia invade Ukraine, and then also simultaneously China uses military force to reunify what it calls reunification with Taiwan, because China considers Taiwan to be a breakaway province. And so I asked Jake Sullivan whether the U.S. is prepared to deal with such a nightmare scenario, and this is his answer.